Hey everyone, welcome back to the Brock Cannon Podcast. I'm your host, Brock Cannon. This is episode number 36. And on today's episode, I was able to have a conversation with high performance coach Del Denny. Del is the coolest guy. And you know what I love about this guy is he didn't grow up in a very conducive setting to becoming a high performance coach, you might say. And it's so interesting because often we have, you know, events happen in our lives which can shape us very deeply. And in his case, he chose not to become a victim, but rather a victor and make the best out of his situation. And we'll get into that on the episode. I don't want to spoil it just yet. But we get into the 6 high performance habits of the top 1%, how they do what they do. And I think you're going to really learn a lot in this episode. I've got some big favorite parts and I took a lot of notes myself. So without further ado, let's jump right into the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, Del Denny. And we're live. What's up, you guys? Right. Welcome to the Brock Cannon Podcast. This is episode number 36. I'm so excited to have high-performance coach Del Denny on with me today. Del is joining us from his new office. Look at that, everyone. It's sexy. Del, would you do that for us, please?
There we go. There it is. That's about it so far. I wish you could see it on Instagram here, but maybe I'll do one of these numbers.
There you go. Yeah, I totally dig it. We were just talking about the need to have, you know, the creative space as, you know, fathers, husbands. Oftentimes you got to be able to have that space to not have the distractions. So anyway, super stoked to have you, Del. And, you know, Del and I have known each other for a number of years and I've watched his development. And, you know, Del, I will never forget, I think the first time that I met you, we were doing an event together in Canada and you unleashed your social media knowledge to me. And this was like, God, a long time ago. I don't even think I like knew what Twitter was. And you opened this thing and you had like thousands of followers and you're like, this is how Twitter works. And this is how this works. And like showed me all this stuff, but it's great to have you on, man. You're somebody that I've always admired from afar. It's just someone being very consistent over time. And so today I want to get into just a little bit of your backstory, get into what it means to really employ high performance habits. And we can go down different rabbit holes from there, I'm sure. And, you know, really bring a lot of value today. So tell us, Del, for those that are not familiar with your backstory, I loved your bio on your website recently. By the way, your website's beautiful. We'll have links to that in the show notes after. And you didn't really necessarily grow up easy. You had a very big trial and kind of shocking thing happen to you as a kid. Could you tell us just a little bit more about that and your upbringing and then kind of what's led you to the current place?
Yeah, I sure can. First off, thanks for having me on your podcast. This is an absolute pleasure. Yeah, a little backstory. You know, personal growth hasn't always been like a big thing for me. You know, growing up, I grew up in Indiana, little farm town, Indiana, Shelbyville, Indiana. Everyone hears Shelbyville, they think of The Simpsons for some reason, right? But you know, I grew up and no big frills for me. You know, just the average kid growing up. But when I was 9 years old, kind of a pivotal thing happened in my life. My father went to prison and received a 40-year prison sentence. And to a 9-year-old boy, it seems like a pretty long time, doesn't it? And so I just remember growing up when I got to be the age of 17, I was going through some crazy times. I was absolutely a crazy kid. And I had this like big epiphany happen to me in my life. And what happened was, it was Christmas night. I was 17 years old and, I was driving down the neighborhood. I was like kind of in the bad part of town. And, I saw this kid that I knew. I worked at a pizza place. He worked at the pizza place. He was a little bit older than me. I wanted to do some drugs. I knew he did drugs. So it was like, hey, hop in the car. Let's go do our thing. And so we went to this house and it was like on the bad part of town, like this crappy part of town, Christmas night to paint the picture. I'm in this room, I'm sitting down and we're doing our thing. And I look around, I'm 17 years old. I look to my left, I see my friend, he's in his 20s. There's a 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old. And that's when that moment of clarity happened for me, where I realized if I kept on doing what I was doing, I was going to end up like these guys that were sitting across from me. And I knew I had to do something different. And that was the moment that really changed my life, where I started on this journey of personal growth. I just left. I said, here, you guys take this stuff. I'm done. I walked away. They were happy because they got a bunch of free stupid stuff. And I walked away, and that was it for me. I was done. And so from that moment forward, I really started my journey to be a better person, because I knew the path that I was going down was a lot like my father's. Like, I knew I might be where he was at if I kept on doing the things that I was doing. So for me, I needed to change. And it was December 25th, year 2000, that started for me.
Wow. That's an amazing pivotal moment there. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. You know, I had one of those as well in seventh grade. Wrong crowd, wrong kids, same thing. You know, booze comes out at a party, and I kind of had to realize that like I had to break free and find new friends. And it's so huge, but not even just as kids, as adults, we often have to kind of find a new tribe that's going to go the place that we want to go as well. So, you know, what I think is so interesting about your story, Del, I think there's two types of people that, you know, if they had that happen to them, their father going to prison, something very dramatic, you know, very emotional, obviously, they could, number one, either use that as an excuse of why their life didn't turn out the way it should have, the victim, or two, they could say, it's because my father went to prison that I chose a completely different path. So it takes a lot of courage, I think, to be able to do that. And when did you know that was not the path you wanted to take? Was it in that moment with those friends, with those substances happening, and it changed from there? Or when was it exactly?
That was the exact moment, the very exact moment. I knew from that moment, like, I'm done. That's it. I've got to change everything that I'm doing. You know, I quit all the stupid stuff that I was doing. and I got a whole different friend group, just like you said. I think that's really important to do is, you know, surround yourself with people that make you better and that don't pull you down. And that was really a tougher thing, was when you're trying to leave that tribe, they want to pull you back in. And so it's having that determination of, hey, this is the vision of who I am and who I can become, and I'm going to stick with that. And you just stay with it, because if not, your friends and family might pull you down to, you know, to that level again. And that's the tough part. Like, that, if you can make it through that trial of, hey, I'm going to change and I'm going to be better, and you hear your friends and family giving their opinion of who you should be or what you should become, you know, listen to them. It's fine. Take it as counsel. But when you have your vision of who you can become, you go with it. You just roll with it. Who cares what anybody else says? You just move forward.
Yeah, that's great advice. And for somebody that's listening, that's, you know, maybe feeling like they're kind of stuck right now, and a lot of that being based around kind of their group of friends or people that they're with, or just coworkers that are maybe hindering their growth, what advice would you give to them to be able to not be a total asshole and, you know, shun these people and pass judgment, but in a way where they can start to detach and start to get on a growth trajectory instead?
You know, that's a tough one right there. I mean, because I had some close friends and close family members that I had to distance myself from. And, you know, I think as I've gotten older and looking back, I can see that, you know, it's okay to put yourself first. It's okay to do that. It's not a selfish thing. You know, when I was going through it, you know, I was young. I was 17, 18, 19, making some really big life decisions. And I think my friends and family, out of love, truly wanted to help me with their opinions, but it wasn't always the best of opinions. And so what advice I would say is focus on you. It's okay to focus on you. You know, Brock, you've been on an airplane quite a bit. So have I. And, you know, one of the things that they tell us is, you know, in the event of an emergency, you know, and that mask comes down, who do you put it on? Well, you put it on yourself first, and then you help other people. And I think that's a lot like life. Sometimes we have those emergencies where we need to change, and it's okay to work on us, and it's okay to be a little bit selfish for us, but eventually we help other people down the line once we get ourselves figured out. And so I had to do that at an early age. And today, you know, I feel very fortunate where I've been able to rekindle some of those relationships, and I've been able to be a beacon of light to some other people. And other people, you know, it was good that I distanced myself from, because, you know, they ended up in jail or who knows where as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you just brought up a really good point. When, you know, the rising tide raises all ships. So when your boat is rising on that tide as well, there will be some that kind of follow suit and come with you and be like, wow, Dell's making a change. He's really doing this. So I'm going to follow, or it's not the right person to be around, period.
So. Absolutely. There's a Marianne Williamson quote that I absolutely love. And I can't quote off the top of my head, but it talks about, you know, don't play small. Like, you playing small doesn't serve the world around you. Like, don't shrink. Like, let your light give inspiration to those around you, because as you rise up and as you do better things, it's going to cause your example to bring up other people too, just like you said.
Yeah, 100%. So I know that one of the things you really teach are six different performance habits. Would you mind maybe running through those if you don't mind, or at least some of them? And then I'd love to hear kind of which one of those six has made the biggest difference for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a certified high performance coach, there's really six habits that I focus on. So the first one is seeking clarity. All right. The second one is to generate energy. The third is to raise necessity. The fourth is to increase productivity. Fifth is to develop influence. And then the sixth one is to demonstrate courage. And the last one, to demonstrate courage, is kind of what we've been talking about already, is, you know, where in my life do I need to show up big right now? And so it took a lot of courage for me, you know, as a 17-year-old kid, to say, I am making a life change right now. I'm going to be better than I was yesterday. I don't like this path I'm going down. And so the question is, when we have that habit of demonstrating courage, is, you know, are we asking the right questions? You know, are we confident to speak up in a crowd, in a meeting? You know, you look at yourself and say, okay, where am I backing down right now and how can I improve? And so demonstrating courage is a really important one that's often neglected, but it's often the very first spot of, hey, I've got to make a change. I need a little bit of courage, and just developing that within ourselves.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I know you work with people that are in all different transitions within life, but let's talk for a second just about entrepreneurs, because you've made that jump. I've had to make that jump. It definitely can be one of the scariest out there, because people are conditioned to kind of have that security, you know, what our parents taught us, what society has taught us, that we're going to be safe within a job, when in reality, in today's climate, you know, that's debatable whether that's actually the safe choice. But nonetheless, you know, it's definitely a topic that really, really scares people. So when people come to you and they say, Del, I've been in my job 15, 20 years, I'm not passionate about it. I go to work, I feel like the energy is sucked out of me and I hate it, and I want to do something different. Where would you start with that person to help them shift paths?
First one is a seek clarity. That's the habit that I'd work on right there. You know, one of my favorite quotes is that, you know, the number one reason why people don't get what they want is because they don't know what they want. And I hope that sinks in, because, you know, everyone wants to, you know, to get rich, so to speak. You know, entrepreneurship, you know, I want to be rich. Okay, well, if we gave you $10,000, what would you do with it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. They don't really define that clarity for themselves. So why do you want to go into business? What business do you want to create? What is that going to do for you? Really, what's the lifestyle that you want to have? You know, I want financial freedom. That's what I want. I want financial freedom. Perfect. What are you going to do? I want to travel. That's where I want to go. I want to travel. Okay, well, you travel to McDonald's. Do you feel your life is fulfilled? Right? Obviously not. And so we have to get clear about our wants and our dreams and our goals, you know, to set clear deadlines for those things of, hey, you know, the reason why I want to start a business is because my energy is low. I'm always working. I'm working 60 hours a week. I want something where I can work 40 hours a week and have that time for my wife, or have that time for my kids. And so it's creating that clarity of, hey, what do I want first? What is the end result going to be? And then let's figure out a business that can provide that thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I love that. And I think that people go into something all the time. And even when they think they're a little bit clear, they're really not. Because when you ask further questions like you just did, you know, you kind of realize, I want financial freedom. Well, how much does that actually take for you? And, you know, I know you've seen this, Del, and I've seen this too. It's so crazy to me how, you know, you're like, how much would you need to be comfortable? And they're like, I need $2 million, you know, or like whatever. And the reality is that the top 1% in this country make just over $400,000 a year. And when people actually start to break it down, all right, here's even my dream car. Here's the little vacation fund. Here's the mortgage. Here's all the bills. Here's this. Haven't you found that it's typically even less than people think in the beginning it's going to take?
Oh, 100%. They feel like they have to hit the lottery to retire, and that's right. Not necessarily the case. You know, I one of the very first financial books I ever read was Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, and I absolutely love that book, and it was a game changer for me. It made me want to invest, and one of the biggest takeaways that I had from that book was that, you know, financial freedom occurs when your passive income meets or exceeds your expenses. You know, it doesn't take $1 million. It's just like, it's as simple as this. What is your expenses every month? Okay, $3,000, $5,000. We'll have enough passive income coming in that meets or exceeds that. And that's it. It's not that we need $3 or $5 million to retire. It's just that we need that cash flow coming in. And that's why I love real estate. Both you and I have been in the real estate industry, and I can speak to what real estate's done for me in my life, and passive income is key. In fact, I'm interviewing someone on Friday from Jacksonville on passive income properties because how important it is. I mean, you look at our economy today, you know, jobs are, you know, we don't know what's happening with jobs, right? A lot of people have lost their jobs. But imagine having that passive income coming in where, you know, let's say we had $3,000 a month of expenses, and we had, let's say, you know, five houses that produced, you know, that expense money. Well, now we're technically financially free, and it's as easy as that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I've continued to run into people, especially over this last year as COVID hit and things really turned upside down, to where you see these people and you're like, hey, they lost their job, but they're still doing okay because they've got property income. It's huge.
Yeah,
it's absolutely
sure.
Huge. So, all right. So we got to seek clarity, really get very, very specific with what we want. And then what else in terms of, you know, coaching someone through that courage to really make the jump, would you say to them?
Well, let's talk about generate energy. I think that's an important one too, is we can have those dreams and those goals. We can get clear on what we want, but now it's, do we have the energy and stamina in ourselves to go after those things, right? We live in a very distracting world. You know, there's so many things that rob us of our energy. You know, you have email, you have, you know, work that is always constantly going, and, you know, you got to take the kids to softball or soccer, and you're going. And then it's like, okay, well, do I have time to pursue my dreams? And so generate energy is very key here. And as an ultra marathoner, you probably know that better than anybody, is, you know, how do we maintain our bodies? How do we get better with that? And one thing I've been impressed with you is I like watching your videos on breath work. Like, that's really cool to me. That's so good. And maybe you can speak to breath work a little bit, why that's important. I'm going to defer to you here on this one.
Well, no, I mean, it's, you're right though, man. Like, it's such a good point that how can one pursue their dreams and really put in the hard work? Cause it is going to be extra work. Like, especially if someone's working a day job, they're tired. The kids want attention. Their wife wants attention. there's also a sports game on, and I'm like, all right, how do you muster the energy to do that? So, you know, it's really, really huge. So I appreciate you touching on that. And, you know, I want to get back to the wisdom that you have, but, you know, you're right. I would say breath work is amazing. And even if someone's not formerly trained in breath work, it's as simple as just pausing sometimes to take a breath. And I know you're a big believer in mindfulness and meditation as well. And so just saying, all right, holy cow, kids are in bed. Like I'm exhausted, but what can I do? Maybe I can lay down, and maybe I don't have 45 minutes to do some full breath work session, but maybe I can take 20 slow, deep breaths and just get centered and just close my eyes and just visualize what it is that I want. Again, clarity. And then you come back to your present moment and you begin. So it is, man. Breath work's amazing. And, you know, I know there's a lot of other strategies. In fact, I want to point out right now, as you're doing this, you're standing up. Talk to us about just that simple motion of standing up and why that works.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm going to generate more energy. Now, I have a standing desk for that reason. And, you know, for me, we're on these calls, it's important that I move and get the body going and I'm more alive. And so I can generate more energy. It's not that I have energy, I generate my energy. In fact, even if you look over here, I'll bring it in the camera here. This is my chair.
Nice. There you go.
This is for me to keep my posture and to bounce around a little bit, but so I don't remain sluggish and all that good stuff. But
for those listening, just to be clear, so Dell's showing us a chair it doesn't have a back, it's just like a ball. So he's generating, you know, his core just by sitting.
Yep, that's exactly it. And so, like, to kind of speak on generating energy a little bit more, you know, the routines that we have are so important. You know, breath work is definitely in that routine that I do. You know, every hour, I think it's important to breathe. And in fact, monks, one of the first things that they're taught, if you become a monk, one of the first things it teaches how to breathe. Mm-hmm. And in our civilization, you know, we don't focus on that. You know, when we get stressed, if you really look at your breath, it gets really shallow, and that's not good for us. And so that breathing is very important. So I focus on breath work for sure. And that's something that we relate with, but there's other things too. Meditation is so important to me. You can add a little bit of breath work to that, but you know, everyone should have time, whether it's 10 minutes in their day or 20 minutes, whatever it is, create that routine. You know, whether it's in the middle of your day or whether it's in your morning, that's up to you. But, you know, studies have shown that if you just take that little bit of time, it does so many things for you. You know, your cognitive skills are sharper. Your stress levels go down. You can just think clearer. And that's something that I've really appreciated. You know, it's funny. There's one time, this was a really cool story. I was sitting in a cafe in Paris, France. And it was one of the coolest experiences. And Paris is my favorite place to go. And one of these days I'm going to have a house in Paris. And I remember sitting in the cafe with my fiance, my now wife, and we're sitting there and I think we're having a coffee or something. And everyone's speaking French. I don't speak any French whatsoever. And next to us, there was this Indian guy. And he had a thick English accent, and he was very inquisitive about us. He came and sat next to us and started talking to us like, "Hey, are you Americans?" Like, yeah, absolutely. And he's like, "Oh, that's wonderful." And he started talking to us, and we had this amazing conversation. And it was one of those things where when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And he started talking about breathing and meditation and how important that was. And from that moment on, that's when I included meditation in my life. And I can tell you, like, COVID pandemics, it's stressful. Everybody's stressed out. You know, our country, the United States, is at an all-time high stress level. And if everyone would just take a second to meditate, practice mindfulness, you know, it goes a long ways. So I would definitely include that in my practice to be a high performer, is to generate energy through that. But then there's also exercise. We all have to exercise. You know, I woke up this morning at 6:45, or actually earlier than that, I was in a 6:45 a.m. hot yoga session. Nice. And the reason why I do that is to stretch my body, you know, focus on mobility. You know, I love the hot sauna because I can get the toxins out of my body. I can stretch a little bit further. And so I include that in my routine. And so when we talk about productivity a little bit, I'll talk about how we include those in our routines, but hot yoga is definitely a must in my schedule.
That's awesome, man. I wish I could see you. Do you put on like, you know, something sexy and you just sweat it out?
Yeah, shorts. And that's about it. I've got down to my underwear a couple times, but where I go, it's its own sauna hot box thing. You're by yourself. So
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, that's beautiful, man. So anything else you would want to add on energy, that piece?
Yeah, I would add one more thing is that, you know, if you think about like a power plant doesn't have energy, it generates energy.
Mm.
We're just like a power plant. We don't have energy. We have to generate energy. And some of the things that we have to do is, you know, to step it up. And when we feel ourselves getting down, remember, we can generate that. You know, we can generate more energy if we really want to. We have to pull it from within. And one of my favorites is breath work. It's breath scaling. But that's probably another, I think we've talked about breath too much, but if you Google breath scaling, that can help generate some energy.
Ah, dude, it's so powerful. And yeah, like that's a whole other discussion, I guess, for another time, because it's such a powerful thing. But yeah, anything like that. And just like you said, just moving our body, you know, it's so interesting when you just see someone who's in a depressed state, you know, like you said, they're kind of slumped over, they're breathing very shallow. And then if you can just get them to move a little bit, you can get them to start walking, you know, what happens? Like their entire chemistry changes. They'll start to talk. They might just start getting insights and add to the conversation. And it's just amazing. And even if everybody, all they did was just walk more, like everyone would be feeling a lot better. Doesn't have to be complex.
Yeah. I mean, even, you know, when I do a talk, a speech, one of the things that I like to do is to open up my body, because as we get nervous, we do get scrunched in. We do kind of, you know, quiver a little bit. But, you know, as you want to develop more confidence and more energy, you know, you open up your arms, you jump a little bit, you bounce around, and you'll find that energy come.
Fantastic, man. I love it. So that, depending on how you want to take this, but I think that could lead very well into productivity. So if we're able to increase energy, how do we then move towards greater productivity?
Yeah, so productivity is a necessity for sure. And so how can we be more productive? How can we get more done in less time? And as I think about that, I love what Abraham Lincoln said, you know, if you give me 6 hours to chop a tree, I'm gonna spend the first 4 hours sharpening the axe. Mm. And so how do we do that? Well, some of the things that I like to do is to calendar, is to get a schedule, to put it on paper. And so Sunday nights is sacred time for me. I plan out the whole entire week. I get my I have Apple, so I take my calendar on Apple there, and you can use Google or if you want to. But for me, I time block everything. So first I start off with the meetings that I have to go through, like any business meetings. I block those things out. I know that, you know, I'm going to be in a meeting from 3 to 5, and I put that there. And so I put all the necessary things that have to happen on there. Like there's no breaking them. And then what I do is I go through the other little appointments. You know, today I went to the chiropractor. So that was on there. Our podcast today, that was on there too. And so I plan the entire week. And then what I do is I take my little task list, you know, I'll get a little piece of paper out and I will go through, what do I want to accomplish this week? What are five big things that I need to accomplish this week? Five big things, like five needle moving things. And then what I'll do is I'll do another list of five secondary tasks. So go to the dry cleaner. Like, that's not a needle mover, but it's a necessity. Like, I need to get that done. So five of those. And then if there's any left over, we'll call them third tasks. It might be, cleaning out my inbox, something like that, right? So you have your five primaries, you have five secondaries, and then whatever else you want to add. And so then what you do is you, on Sunday night, you look at your week and say, okay, I've got these five main things. Okay, this main point right here, if all I did was this one thing, that would be a successful day. Well, where can I fit that in this week? Well, Tuesday, I don't have much going on. This would be perfect for Tuesday. And then, okay, let's see this one right here. This will take me a little bit more time. Okay, Thursday, that'll fit in Thursday perfectly. And so I put those five things throughout the week. And then I'll look at the secondary task. Okay, dry clean, perfect. Well, this meeting is going to be on the east side of town. That's where my dry cleaner is. Perfect. We're going to put that there. And so Sunday nights are so important to really look out at your entire week. Now, to take it a notch further, what I like to do is every day I look at my calendar. Most people look at their calendar in the morning and, you know, they'll look at it. But I like to look at my calendar the night before. And the reason being is, you know, you have your conscious mind and you have your subconscious mind. You know, your conscious mind shuts off, your subconscious mind is always going. And so if you look at tomorrow's agenda and you look at the tasks that you need to do, the primary task, you know, the few secondary tasks, you look at your day ahead, you know, you look at tomorrow and you think, okay, how am I going to show up for these meetings? What might get me stuck in these meetings? How can I accomplish this in a productive way? And as you go to sleep, I promise this sounds crazy, but as you do this, your subconscious mind goes to work on those things. So when your next day comes, you know, you've spent 8 hours kind of problem solving already. So you wake up in the morning and then the answers start coming to you a little bit clearer. And so I absolutely love that. I get a ton of work done. And it's just by doing that. If you master your calendar, you can be so, so productive.
That's amazing, man. And honestly, just hearing that, you know, you look at the general population, what percentage would you say people that actually do that are? Like maybe 1%?
Maybe. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, every time I share this with people, they think I'm an alien. But it is my secret sauce. I mean, it really is. Like, if you can master your schedule and master your time, you can get so much more done. But it also gives you relief too, because I remember not using calendars sometime. You know, you go throughout your day and you know you have stuff to do and you're trying to rack your brain of, gosh, I know I had something to do today. What was it? And you're constantly thinking, right?
Yeah.
And that is just mental exertion. But when you go through the day and you have your phone, you say, okay, here's my calendar today. I have this meeting. I need to do this one thing. I have two secondary tasks. You knock that out. You put it away. 5 o'clock comes. You can just relax with your family. You know, you don't have anything looming over your head because it's all planned out. You know, tomorrow you've got those tasks, but now you can enjoy this moment with your family. You go play the guitar, whatever it may be, right?
Yeah, I love that. I want to ask you about this one thing because I would imagine there's some people out there that are thinking, Del, that sounds awesome. That's great. Good for you. But having massive to-do lists stress me the hell out. And I feel like I can never get it done anyway. So I would imagine you're going to take it back to your first five, those being probably the most important. But what would you say to somebody that feels like there's no way I can get all of this done? So how do I not be overwhelmed, but still be productive?
So you only have three tasks per day. That's it. Only give yourself three tasks today. And really you have the primary and you have those two secondaries. So the primary like is if the only thing I do today was this one thing, it would be successful. Like that's the quality of that. And if you get around to those secondary things, that's gravy. That's great. But yeah, if you can focus on those needle movers, that's the most important thing. And I'll tell you, three is tops. Only put three things on your task list per day. I've experimented with 5, 10. You do anything more than three, you're burning yourself out. It's going to be a quick burnout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it 100%. And I think that's definitely a secret amongst high achievers, is realizing that it's just focusing on those one or two or three very important things every day that really move the needle forward. Can you give us just an example from your real life today? So what was the one needle moving activity you did today?
The one needle moving activity I did today was setting up this right here, because there's more streaming thing that's going on in my business. And so it was experimenting with a few different cameras. I needed to get that part dialed in to further my reach. And so between getting this looking pretty, I'm not an interior decorator, so like this was something for me to accomplish right here. But I know moving forward, it's one of those set it and forget it. That was my needle moving activity for the day. And my secondary thing was this podcast. This was a high priority for me today.
Awesome, man. Again, thank you for being on. And I love your taste with the salt lamp. I have the same thing. It's just, it just feels so, it's just like calming. Salt lamps are so cool.
It is. I love salt lamps. So we were talking about our office earlier, before we got on the podcast. Brock and I were chatting a little bit. And, you know, I don't work from home. I have the choice to, but I don't want to, because I like to be by myself to do deep work. You know, I think about some of the greats that are out there. In fact, well, you can't see over here, I have a picture of, let me grab this real quick.
Grab it.
Probably have, for those that are looking here, I'm going to see if Brock can guess who this is right here. And it's not my grandpa.
You know,
I'll be amazed if you get this right.
It's a little blurred, but no, I can't say I have any idea who that is.
That's Ernest Hemingway.
Okay.
One of the best writers, you know, won all kinds of awards. And earlier this year, I went to the Hemingway house in Key West, Florida. And he had his home, and then the back of his home, a whole separate building, was his workspace where he wrote some incredible work. And, you know, for me, it was just a reminder of how important it is to, if you want to produce great work, you have to limit distractions. I love my family to death, but we have to limit our distractions so we can take care of what we need to. And then we can go take care of our family as well. So I have this as a reminder to do deep work, quality work right here.
It's true, man. It's beautiful. And if I have my history correct, I believe Maya Angelou also would literally just go rent like a really crappy hotel room somewhere. And she just go in there and she just immerse herself in her work and not come out until whatever she was working on was done. And I think that's so beautiful. And in fact, I love that you created that space today, because one like aha insight that I've had this year is that when I clear the clutter away physically, I allow space for the inspiration and ideas to flow into me. And, you know, yes, there's the anomalies here and there where their house is like, you know, hoarder house, and they're still like get stuff done. But I think some of the greatest achievers, they have cleared the space physically to allow the insight to come. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. Personally, clutter just stresses me out.
Yeah.
I like to take the Apple Store technique of, you know, minimalist design, you know, keep it very simple. And so that's what my office is. It's very simple. A little tranquility in there. It's a safe haven for me, somewhere I feel comfortable, and, you know, I can produce some great work here.
I love it, man. I love it. It's a great, great lesson for everybody listening. So I want to ask you just a couple more questions. Obviously, I want to end with everybody knowing how they can find you and get in touch with you. But one thing I've been thinking a lot this year about is just how, as adults, one of the ways in which we can propel our goals forward is this thing that's not talked about enough, which is, I believe, having an underlying excitement. I think we get adult onset ADD, you know, we're not honest with ourselves. in asking the question, does this really excite me? So I want to just hear a little bit more for you. What are you most excited about right now in your life? And then, like, what are you most excited about this year in general with your life?
Ooh, that's a great question. What am I most excited about?
Besides the sexy office and the salt lamp.
Besides that, I think for me, you know, my family, I'm very excited for that. We've got some good things ahead. I'm also excited for our country today. You know, as we record this podcast, you know, today was the inauguration of a new president, and I won't be political on here. I'm not here to share my politics, but I'm just excited that hopefully we can step up as a country and be better and become more unified and love one another. And I think we might have an opportunity for that this year.
Certainly. Yep. Lots of change, absolutely, as we move past 2020, which I think everybody's pretty relieved to move past.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that people are unified on, is that 2020 was a crazy year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny. It's so, I was cracking myself up the other day, Del, because you know how on social media you'll get like 1 year ago on this day. Well, December of 2019, Shannon and I were in Tulum, Mexico, and we were going to bring in the new year there. And we were so excited. And I was like, I put this post out that all it said on my Instagram was 2020 is going to be an amazing year. And I saw that. I was like, oh my God, if we would have only known. But we didn't know what we didn't know. And, you know, I would say we all learned valuable lessons through 2020. And I want to just ask you that, because I do think that's an important question from your perspective as a high performance coach. You know, where was the value in this crazy year for you, 2020?
I think a lot of people can relate to this, but it made you realize what your priorities were. You know, for me, always on the go, you know, business, you know, as a 37-year-old guy, I've flown over a million miles. I've been in enough Hilton hotels where they've granted me lifetime diamond access. Usually that's for an old man. And, you know, I traveled a lot. And, you know, since 2020, travel really came to a screeching halt. And I remember just being with my family and just realizing, reassessing where I was at and thinking, this is where I need to be. I don't need to be on a plane anymore. Family is the most important thing. You know, as males, and, you know, we get caught up in our jobs and our professions, and we take on this identity of a businessman or a businesswoman or whatever it may be. And sometimes we can neglect the most important things in our life, and that's family. So for me, looking back, I really reprioritized my career, and it reprioritized my family, and it ended up being a great year for my family. And I feel very blessed for that.
Ah, oh, that's beautiful, man. I appreciate you sharing that. And I think many listening would agree it has helped do the same. And yeah, I don't know. It's funny because everyone has a different perspective. Some people are like, I'm so sick of the Zoom meetings. I'm so sick of the Zoom meetings. But then, you know, we're expecting a little girl here in April. And so last week, almost a week ago, we were sitting on the couch doing the hypnobirthing class from a facilitator who was all the way in Utah. And I had this moment. I don't even think I shared this with Shannon, but I had this moment. I was like, this is super cool. Like, this is a blessing of all of this, because we're like in our pajamas, lounging on the couch, salt lamp, you know, candlelight, just relaxed, doing this cool hypnobirthing class. And I was like, I'd much rather be here, like on the comfort of my couch, like versus in some room with like crazy fluorescent lights with four other couples that it feels awkward with. I was like, this is cool. So I think it's been neat, you know, from that perspective of we're able to learn so much from the comfort of our homes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I love these Zoom meetings. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's easy. I mean, it's opened up so many doors. I mean, it was February last year, I went to a big seminar in San Diego, and it costs, when everything was said and done, just with like travel expenses alone, it was over $1,000 for my wife and I to go to it. And now we have Zoom and we can learn from people and have these seminars, and the technology is awesome. And I think maybe the technology has pretty much always been there, but now it's becoming more accepted. People don't mind jumping on a Zoom call. You know, you see your older family members, they know how to work Zoom now. So right. I love how this has become more accepted. It's going to open up even more doors.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, of course, with that said, you know, you and I both know, like, at times there's nothing that, you know, compares to in-person connection and human connection, but it's just about seeing, you know, the silver linings in a situation, which I think this has helped us all to do. So 100%. Very, very beautiful.
I think we should be in the moment, you know, as in this moment as a society, it's all Zoom calls, but I know when this is opens up and people are comfortable with each other, I'm going to give a few hugs to some strangers.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely, man. Yeah. People need hugs more than ever right now. So
yeah, that they do.
Great. Awesome. Well, Del, for everybody listening, just give us a quick idea of the best place to find you so that they can connect and follow your work and everything else awesome you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Come and listen to my podcast, the Upgrade Your Life podcast. You can find me on iTunes. You can find me on Spotify and really wherever there's podcasts, you'll find me there. So the Upgrade Your Life podcast, or come and visit me at deldinney.com. I got some free training, some courses on there for everybody. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Cool, man. Yeah, what I've always loved about your work and just, again, perusing your YouTube channel, because there were some new things tonight that I hadn't seen. And I was like, you know, Del's really just got very quick, practical videos. They're not super, super long or winded, but like, I was like, damn, that's super cool. You know, that makes me think about this, or this makes me think about this, and I'm going to implement that. So everyone listening, highly encourage you to check out his YouTube channel, check out his podcast, free trainings and everything he's got. This guy's got a lot of gold. So Del, thank you so much, man. We're going to let you get back to your family now. I know it's late your time. So thank you so much for being on. And that was a pleasure, man.
Thank you, Brock. I appreciate it. This was fun.
All right, you guys. And thank you to everyone listening. And we will see you on the next episode. Everybody have a wonderful week. Peace. Hey guys, Brock again. Before you go, I just want to recap the episode a little bit. My favorite part of our conversation was really how to plan your week for greater productivity. I don't know about you guys, but one of the biggest things that really trips me up is adding too many tasks to my to-do list, and I get overwhelmed very, very quickly. And sometimes at the end of the day, I'm like, oh my God, what did I really accomplish today? But Del's principle of doing just three main things every single day that are really going to be those needle moving activities was a huge takeaway for me. I would love to hear your biggest takeaways. So after you've listened to this episode, send me a message directly. I'd love to hear that. Also, look for all the ways to connect with Del in the show notes. He's got some awesome content, so make sure you check out his YouTube channel, his podcast as well. He's got some great, great material out there. So thank you guys for listening. Have an amazing week, and we will see you on the next episode of the Brock Cannon Podcast.